Welcome to the free version of Sunday night's main event. Remember, this show is crowdfunded. So if you like what you hear, please subscribe to our Patreon. It's only $4 a month. That's only $1 a week. And not only do you get a commercial-free and extended version of this show each and every week, along with that, you get 4 other podcasts per week. It's all at patreon.com/SNMEradio. That's patreon.com/SNMEradio. Check it out. We appreciate your support.
This is Sunday night's main event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting!
With Dan the Mouth Labransky.
Everyone has a price.
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
Well, 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 it is a crazy technical day here in the world of Sunday night's main event, as I think the phone just rang, and I believe I may or may not have Dan Labransky on the line. The technical issues continued like Slammiversary. Is that what we're parodying here, Mouth? Are you here? I've been trying to get a hold of you for the past 10 minutes.
I'm so sorry, Jay. I'm not sure what happened there. I've been going over my notes, been trying to figure out what to say about all so much crazy stuff this week in the world of wrestling. This was one of the weirdest weekends I've ever gone through with wrestling. So sorry if I'm a little messed up here, but I'm here. I'm with you.
All right. Very good. I had to put the all call out to all the other hosts going, I don't think Mouth has power. Does someone want to co-host? Nonetheless, we're live on the air tonight. You can tell it's live when stuff like this happens. And
it.
Listen, we had a double wrestling pay-per-view weekend as Impact had a Saturday night of surprises at Slammiversary. WWE gave us, I don't even know what tonight, a Sunday night of Extreme Rules. Which one was the horror show, I think, is the big decision we're going to be making on tonight's program. Hey, you're listening to Sunday night's main event. We're coming at you live on TSN Radio 1150 tonight, our flagship. I'm Jason Agnew. You already heard Dan the Mouth Labransky. Mouth, how many Great Lakes beers did it take you to get through these two events this week?
This was, I need some more, if that's what you're hinting at. Yeah, this was a heavy drinking night for sure. But don't worry, I can handle it. We'll get through it.
All right, well, you go restock your Great Lakes there.
Okay.
I'm going to give out the phone numbers. Tonight we are live, and that means you guys can call. It's 1-866-729-2562 is the number to call. You can send your tweets to @SNMEradio, or, of course, tangle up in the Facebook group, SNME Radio. Search it and join us there. Even Bartender Dave is on Facebook now. It's crazy. A little late to the game. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with more. And we are live running down the horror show at Extreme Rules tonight. Sunday night's main event on TSN 1150.
We're going to see something really scary. You remember the serpent, right? Come on.
There was a snake on the horror show tonight. However, not this snake, though. How dare, Mouth, how dare they use a snake and not have Jake Roberts associated with it?
Well, that's exactly why they did use the snake, because he's in AEW now. So, you know, of course they have to get their little dig in there.
Welcome back. It is Sunday night's main event. We're on an hour earlier tonight because WWE ended things probably about 25 minutes ago. What did this go to? About 9:35 or so?
Yep.
Mouth, I'm just thinking that they cut that Apollo Crews match because Apollo mysteriously out COVID. My guess.
Yeah.
And they just didn't replace it.
Yeah, it was very strange, but, you know, I'm not going to complain. That's always been one of our biggest beefs, is that these shows go too long. So we certainly cannot say that about this one. And you know what, Jay? Even though it was a shorter show, they've given us more than enough to talk about.
Well, they definitely have. I mean, it's certainly been a busy weekend, both with this and with Slammiversary, when we both had the chance to check out most of Slammiversary, and that was good enough for me. But we'll get there a little bit later in the show. We'll focus on the horror show at Extreme Rules.
One horror show at a time, Jay.
Yeah. Well, at least they told us this was going to happen tonight.
That's true. They warned us.
Impact fell into they tell us they're going to do something, and they kind of don't.
They change it at the last second.
Yeah. The pre-show tonight had Devon Dudley making an appearance, giving the New Day advice to say, put your opponents through tables. Apparently, they didn't listen. And then we had a match that was thrown in of Buddy Murphy versus Kevin Owens. It was a random match. And the announcers, honestly, spend most of the time here hyping up the Rollins and Mysterio match to come later in the night, which was the eye for an eye match.
Yeah, this one, exactly. It was very short. I don't even really have much to say about it. Kevin Owens wins with the super kick into the stunner. And he's not Buddy Murphy, Jay.
Yeah, he's Murphy. The whole thing at the end of this, they said, did Owens just remove Murphy from tonight's eye versus eye match? So I guess that was the deal. But he really didn't take him out. He just had a match and
that's
finished
it.
Him.
Exactly.
There's no reason why he couldn't have run out. Then we have Scott Stanford reading a statement from Ziggler's or Ziggler needing approval for his stipulation tonight. So you're telling me that Ziggler needed a lawyer's approval and it took him this long to get it for his stipulation, whereas the eye versus eye match they were able to push through?
Well, yeah, I guess that was much simpler. That straight to the point, I guess. Yeah, no, that's a huge, I could drive a truck through gap in logic right there.
At one point, Renee Booker and JBL were on the pre-show, and they just started to preview Big Show versus Orton tomorrow night.
Hilarious. I thought that was absolutely hilarious. I'm like, you've given up on this pay-per-view already, and you're going to use the last 10 minutes to push a match we're not even going to see, and we're going to see for free tomorrow on TV. It just made me laugh. I'm like, wow, they're throwing in the towel already.
So we kick things off into the actual pay-per-view with a tag team title tables match for the SmackDown titles. New Day versus Nakamura and Cesaro. Strange. No tags in this match. Just a scramble and complete chaos. The announcers are really pushing that Cesaro and Nakamura have New Day's number. And mouth, they did.
Yes, they did. This was ridiculous. Because of the table stipulation, I almost felt they spent more time messing around with tables than they actually did wrestling. It seemed like every couple of seconds somebody was going for a table, whether they were going to use it or not. Or then there's Nakamura trying to grab a table, and he couldn't even get it set up properly. And then the New Day set up two tables on top of each other, which, of course, did lead to the finish with Cesaro on the top. He had Kofi dangling, and Nakamura came and kicked Kofi in the head. And this allowed Cesaro to put him through those two stacked up tables. So as you said, Nakamura and Cesaro now have the titles. You know, usually I look forward to an opening match with the New Day, Jay, but I just didn't really think this one clicked. And I think the table thing for me, I just thought there's too much focus on the tables here.
Well, my whole thing with the New Day is they're, you know, much like a few acts that we've said this about, they're an act that is very crowd dependent in order to get people hyped up. So that really doesn't work here. They're also relatively stale. And I find this whole feud stale because I've seen it before. I know Mark really likes the fact that Cesaro and Nakamura are a tag team. I think they're kind of misfit together. I much prefer Cesaro and Sheamus when they were the bar. These guys are still two individuals, and maybe they'll gel a little bit more for me now that they have the titles. But the whole division is stale. That's really what it is.
Right.
So, but nonetheless, they made the switch here. And then after the match, did you notice this after the match? Cesaro goes to the announcers, taunts them, and then Cesaro and Nakamura pose, sitting on the rampway. Cesaro looks like a guy with a title. Nakamura looked like he was posing like a model with, it was very weird and awkward the way that he sat there.
The two of them just sat on the table and posed for the cameras. Yeah, very bizarre, especially for that team. It doesn't really fit their character.
Bliss was with Asuka and Kairi jumping up and down, giving Nikki a pep talk, saying they believe in her. And once again, these women are being written like they are 12-year-old girls in this sketch. Nikki then leaves Kairi. Nikki leaves and Kairi says as she's leaving, even if she loses, they'll still be friends.
Yes.
And then they all look at her. So it's the SmackDown women's title. Bayley is your champion versus Nikki. I hated the vignette that I just talked about, Mouth, but during this match, I absolutely loved the taunting of Bayley and Banks saying, oh, we believe in you throughout the entire match. Yes. That was so good.
Yes. Yeah, it was, the match itself was okay. I wouldn't say it was like bad or anything like that, but
I'd say it was good. I liked it. I liked it, Mouth. I thought that this match was pretty strong.
There was some. I just didn't think the two really gelled together that well. Again, I thought I didn't think it really works. There was something about the match just kind of threw me off. There was a couple spots where that old thing that bothers me, where someone gets given a major move and they don't even sell it. Like Nikki gave a neck breaker to Bayley on the outside, and Bayley just popped up and didn't even really sell it at all. And I didn't really like the finish either, with the ref distracted by Alexa, and then Sasha gives Bayley her big boss ring and she corks Nikki with it and pins her. So
okay, first,
I don't know. I didn't really dig it myself.
I actually have the exact opposite opinion. I thought that the ref distraction was done very well here, and I love the fact that they can now call them not brass knuckles, but boss knuckles.
Okay, yes.
And I thought that I liked this whole thing. It got me into the match, and I wasn't a big fan of Nikki in this match. Before going into it, there was a part of me momentarily through. I'm like, are they going to have Bayley drop it and have Sasha win it and reverse the dynamic? So it had me buying in, and actually, up to this point in the pay-per-view, I was thinking, hey, I'm okay. And then, then, Mouth, honestly, it just got better. Because Bray Wyatt, this vignette, I honestly love this. Reminded me of Frightenstein, or right. You had mentioned we were trading messages. You had said Count Floyd from SCTV.
Yes. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. Yeah, it was definitely old school with the old school lab equipment, like a 50s horror movie. It also reminded me of the guys that used to host the movie shows back in the 50s and 60s, and they would play gimmicks like that and show old movies. And, you know, they had the theremin playing in the background, classic from those old movies. And, of course, they made fun of the karaoke segment from SmackDown. So how could you not like that, right?
This was so – that is just WWE and whoever the writers are just realizing the mistakes they've made. They know they've been panned for this, and then they made fun of themselves. And not taking themselves too seriously is pretty great. I thought this was an excellent vignette until Bray started talking about Braun, then I didn't really care. But other than that, entertainment value, pretty strong on this. And then we cut back to Tom Phillips, who says Apollo didn't pass his pre-fight physical due to an injury he sustained. They show clips of him in the full Nelson. This has to be him testing positive for COVID.
Yeah, it was pretty lame. You could tell it was a fabricated injury, right?
And then Lashley and MVP come to the ring. MVP announces himself as the new U.S. champion, puts the belt on that he had made that was sitting at ringside. And that was it. No one comes out. No replacement match. No conflict between Bobby and MVP. Nothing.
Nope, MVP just cuts a promo, and that was basically it.
That's it. All right. Yep. I'm okay with everything up till this point. And we get into the eye for an eye match, Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins. It's not a cinematic match.
No.
And
I was very surprised. When he came out to the ring and it was the normal setting, I was very surprised. The other thing, though, going through my mind is I thought, okay, they're going to have most of it like this and they're going to stick in a special effect later on. But
they kept
it all right in the Performance Center.
Yeah, they really did. This kind of became a bit of a plunder match with Ray getting a toolbox from under the ring. They used various items.
We're going to use pliers to pull out somebody's eye.
Like, how dumb is that? Like, why would that be the tool of choice to remove? Bring out a melon baller.
It was the first thing I thought. It was like, who's going to bring a pliers out to pull somebody's eyeball out? It was ridiculous.
Not even needle-nose pliers. Like, those pliers that he brings out. So dumb.
Right. They went through everything in this one. I mean, Rollins used a kendo stick, a metal rod, a chair, a pen. Like, and half of them, you're like, why would you use a chair? You know, they did the one where they stuck the kendo stick in the post and he tried to run Ray's eye into the end of the kendo stick. They had Ray smash up the kendo stick and take fragments of it and try to poke out his eye. The only thing about this, for me, it's eye for an eye. I thought there was too much actual wrestling.
You bet there was.
To me, this should have been like an all-out brawl. This should have been like Abdullah the Butcher and Bruiser Brody in a baseball stadium in Puerto Rico.
Yep.
Going wild on each other, just hitting each other, trying to just totally make it look like they're trying to maim each other. And they're trying to do 619s and curb stomps and all these regular moves that we see. And I'm just like, no, man, you guys should be brawling like maniacs.
I have all of that written in my notes here. Maybe not the Puerto Rico Bruiser Brody reference, but everything else I have written in my notes. Yeah, it didn't make any sense. And then they just kind of went backwards, and they just had Seth hit a foot stomp and then goes after the previously injured eye on the steps once again, and then Ray or someone yells, "It's out." Seth pretends to vomit. We don't see anything. Not that I really wanted to, but I felt like WWE had made this out for me to expect some blood and guts. Pardon that term.
In the fact that the cinematic matches have been such a focus, by instantly creating something like this and being so adamant about it, like even the way the announcers took this, it's like I totally expected some big cinematic effect and some sort of craziness where we were going to see a guy with an eyeball in his hand or laughing maniacally afterwards or whatever. And they just kind of kept it to a real thing. I don't know if they felt they would get too much criticism. I'm not really sure why they didn't go all out, because you already had a swamp match on the show. Why not go all out?
I also kind of found it strange. The exit of Seth here was weird. The announcers say nothing, and they just allow Seth to walk up the ramp and have everyone around the outside just bang on the plexiglass. That was odd. And my bigger question coming out of this mouth is, did Ray not sign that contract?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, that's what you would think, right? With certainly something as severe like this would be an easy way to write him out.
Yep. Kayla's with Bailey. Oh, this was tremendous. She asks Bailey about Ray, and Bailey's all serious, talks about how she grew up watching Ray, and then Ray says, "Ray, don't know if you're going to see this, but if you do, you're not seeing double." Flips over and says, "Because I got two belts."
Yeah, and it was good. I enjoyed that. Yeah,
Bailey and this character, her character is evolving every week. Well, this was incredible.
And think of when she first turned heel too, Jay, how much you could tell it didn't fit for her, right?
Nope.
You could tell it wasn't working. She wasn't comfortable. But she's done a great job at finding out what works for her and going with it. And I loved it. I thought that promo was great.
Bailey also took control of this entire segment, grabbing the mic, introducing Sasha. She basically does all the talking until Sasha says, "Get out the champagne," because she's about to be two belts Banks. This was excellent. This act with these two are excellent. For now, we'll get to the finish. Okay, it is the Raw Women's Championship. Sasha's with Bayley versus Asuka with Kairi. I mean, honestly, I thought the match was going around really well, and then it absolutely fell off a cliff, that is, when Asuka attempted the superplex off the top, which Banks was clearly supposed to counter by flipping and landing on her feet. Mm-hmm. She did not get fully around, instead landed on her knees. Then she fell off the ropes. You could tell that wasn't supposed to happen.
Yes, definitely.
They played it out. They had the ref check on her. Made it look like she was hurt. Turns out she was okay. Then Bailey does the Bailey to belly to take out Kairi on the outside. And Bailey distracts the ref while Sasha taps out to the Asuka lock. So Sasha was going to use the belt. The ref grabs it away. Ref takes the green mist to the face. Bailey hits Asuka in the back with the belt. Bailey then rips off the official's shirt and puts it on and counts three. How did you feel about this, Mark?
Can you hear me like panting here on it?
Yep.
It was horrible. This was horrible. Like, you know, I'm not a fan of the mist to begin with, right? And then for the ref have to take in the mist, and this, it's just so cornball. I mean, they couldn't have thought of something better than this. And Bailey putting on the ref shirt and counting the pinfall and actually allowing it to go. They ring the bell, they get the belts. You know, Jay, this was the match that I was thinking was going to be match of the night.
Yeah, me too.
All the craziness that was going on, the one good wrestling match we're going to get in the ring is going to be Asuka and Sasha. And you know what? I thought it was really sloppy in a lot of spots. I thought it was way too long as well. And yeah, I hated the finish.
Yeah, I didn't like the finish whatsoever. I thought it really ruined what they're trying to do with Bailey and Sasha, really. I wanted them to have the belts, but not this way.
Yeah.
It's a non-champion holding the belt. They're already doing that with MVP.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Charlie,
yeah, it was not a good finish.
Charlie gives an update on Ray's condition in which they state they may be able to save his eye. I guess that's if he signs his contract.
I couldn't believe the complicated rundown they gave on what happened to them. I'm like, whoa, must have been talking to Gorilla Monsoon or something.
Yeah, good for her to memorize all that as well. Match number 5, WWE Universal Championship match, Drew McIntyre versus Dolph Ziggler. Drew's the champ. Dolph announces it's an Extreme Rules match for him only. Drew can be counted out. He has to abide by all the rules of a regular wrestling match, and Dolph can do whatever he wants. Then we commence in this match mouth, making Dolph look like a jobber.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's how I felt going in anyways. I mean, come on. How many times can you go to the well? Like, he's well past the expiry date. Nobody expects he's going to win. This is totally a placeholder match in the whole thing. So, and then this stipulation, I hated this stipulation. I just thought it was really stupid. And the whole thing is about Drew trying to retain his anger so he doesn't use a chair or he doesn't use a table or he doesn't do something. I was kind of confused, though, because I guess legal still means you can do anything outside of the ring as long as you get in and do a 10 count.
I believe you get back in
before the 10 count. Like, that seemed to be the definition of legal in this match. Like, he could go out, he could throw Dolph on the announce table or suplex him.
If you noticed, he couldn't suplex him onto the table, but he could suplex him onto the ground outside the ring, which I believe would hurt more.
Yeah, well, yeah, there you go. So, yeah, I just thought it was kind of a stupid stip. And the thing, even though as one-sided as the stipulation is, you know he's still going to lose. Like, it's a placeholder match, so it means nothing.
Dolph eventually tries all the weapons, all his finishers. He has a temper tantrum, then he sets up for a super kick, and he gets caught with the claymore. We're done.
The finish kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, Dolph gets a Famouser, a zigzag, a chokeslam on the chair, and then kind of just all of out of nowhere, Drew just hits the claymore, and that's it. It's like the referee went, okay, time's up, kick him, we're done.
WWE Championship, it is a swamp fight, friends, and Braun Strowman is your champion going in versus Bray Wyatt. I mean, what to even say about this? They're obviously still trying to capitalize on the success of the Undertaker versus AJ Styles match, and this came nowhere close to it.
No.
At one point, they had Braun Strowman tied down in a chair, chained to a chair, and then we had Bray Wyatt cut a promo to him, and I felt like I was chained in my chair, having to go back.
This was insane. Why would you stick that huge, long talking part in the middle of the match? I wrote it. I still foolishly wrote it all down. It was ridiculous. You know, it just killed. Like, if there wasn't, I didn't think there was great momentum anyways, but you just killed it dead here with talking for like 10 minutes here. It was just ridiculous.
I mean, we get Braun waking up by a fire after being bit by a snake.
The idea is that he's been, it looks almost like he was drugged by the snake, and
snake
he sees
venom.
This fire, and there's a guy he's fighting with guys, and a guy's on fire, and then he's tripping out, and he hears Alexa's voice. It's like, you know, he knocks Bray into a boat. The boat goes out into the water. The boat comes back. He's not in it. It's just like, it really sucked. I thought it was horrible. It didn't have any of the, see, the thing with Undertaker AJ is that it still had the somewhat based in the reality of a fight. This was just ridiculous. They were intercutting weird old footage and stuff that we've seen before. And, you know, the pregnant woman with sin written on her stomach and all that kind of stuff. You know, it reminded me of a bad horror movie where they didn't know how to end the movie.
Yeah. Oh, and they didn't, because they teased a fake ending in this one too.
They even did a fake ending, for goodness sake.
And the water turned to lava, and then the fiend showed up at the end, everyone. So I think that Braun has drowned. By the way, you are listening to a wrestling show, even though we're talking about a swamp fight here. You know, I think this was, it's like it fell, they wanted it to fall in between the Cena, Bray Wyatt, whatever that was, David Lynch thing, combined with the cinematic nature of AJ Styles and Undertaker, and I don't think it did any side any favors here by having it flop right in the middle. It did just that. It flopped.
Yeah, they seemed really preoccupied, too, with creating this idea that the Bray Wyatt character is different personas, because we saw kind of what he looked like originally, and then we kind of see what he looks like now, and then, you know, the Fiend comes up at the end. So it almost seemed to be like just another way to advance the guy idea that this guy is somewhat schizophrenic with all these different characters that he has.
Yeah, I think that they are very much obsessed with that now, because as you can see, the Fiend is returning for SummerSlam, I guess. Providing Braun knows how to swim, because still drowning right now.
I'm sure they'll have some footage on SmackDown this week of someone finding him floating in a river
in
or
the
something
boat. Yeah.
Ridiculous like that. Hopefully the snake bite has worn off and he's not seeing visions anymore. And yeah, it was pretty bad. It doesn't help either character, I don't think, either.
No.
Like, it doesn't do anything good for Braun or for Bray.
Nope, so. I agree. All right, well, as you can tell, we loved it. So call in and let us know what you think. Anything from this week up for grabs? I mean, we can talk Slammiversary as well. We can talk AJ Styles and Matt Riddle and the Baron Corbin program that is coming up that happened on SmackDown, the return of Shayna Baszler. Anything that you like that happened from this week, give us a ring. 1-866-729-2562. I see many of you chatting on Facebook right now. We'll use your voices. 1-866-729-2562. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, doing so on TSN Radio.
Hello, Gordon Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do, and no one struts quite like I do too, and no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale, my beer, your beer, our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery, brewed for you, Ontario.
And now for the Asuka lock. Oh, come on, what's Bayley again? Bayley to the back of Asuka. But the official can't see because of the green mist.
Oh, no,
didn't
no,
see
no.
any of it.
I've heard of a blind.
What is Bayley? What? Ripping the shirt off the official. What is going on? Bayley,
I believe that's sanctionable.
Are you kidding me?
He's in an official referee uniform.
He's not an official referee, Joe. What are you talking about?
You gotta be kidding me. Banks is
no.
down under the cover.
No. What?
Welcome back. It is Sunday Night's Main Event. You're listening to it on TSN 1150. We're live tonight coming out of WWE, the horror show at Extreme Rules, which maybe can now be called the Horrorable show at Extreme Rules. Not to say we didn't know that was coming, though, Mouth.
Well, no, that's it, exactly. I mean, that was kind of the running joke going into this, right? It is funny, though, the way they kind of set themselves up with these things, like greatest match ever, or the horror show, where it's going to get called horrible if it's bad.
Yeah, so we played there the Sasha Banks clip. Now, what do you think happens here? Do they just pull the title away from her? Because there's really no authority figure at the moment to do that, unless Stephanie McMahon shows up.
Well, that's the way, and honestly, this angle, it screams out for that, right? You really can't have a finish like this where one of the other wrestlers just put on a shirt and finished. Even for WWE, there should be some sort of retaliation. So I would expect something's going to happen. I don't expect it would be Stephanie, but then again, on the SmackDown side, there hasn't been an authority figure in a long time.
That's actually on the Raw side, because Asuka's the champ on Raw.
Sorry,
so not to say we actually haven't seen authority figures for the most part within the world of the, COVID wrestling world,
right,
where you're not dealing with audience or anything like that. There really isn't much of that. You just kind of hear mention of William Regal. But other than that, I kind of have to say, commendable WWE pulling away from that traditional thing they've been doing for so many years.
Mm-hmm. That is true. But again, this angle to me screams for something along those lines has to happen.
I do like the thought of, the golden role models having all of the titles. And I really, finally, Mouth, I wanted this for Undisputed. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I want to see them have all the gold going into a pay-per-view. and then have none of the gold coming out of a pay-per-view.
Lose it all. Yeah. Lose it all in one show.
Do it at SummerSlam.
Sorry?
Do it at SummerSlam.
Right. Well, that's it. I mean, the setup is there. You could certainly do it.
On Monday night, going back to Raw, actually, we had the return of Shayna Baszler with a very, very wordy promo. And I'm really wondering what the future for Shayna is going to be without Paul Heyman there.
Oh, that's it. Exactly right. It's going to be very hard for her. And apparently, you know, Vince has really soured on her as well. And certainly the way that she was treated here on the TV this week, like, it didn't even make sense to me where she came back. Like, it was almost like she just kind of shows up and all of a sudden, oh, well, okay, here I am. I'm back. It was very strange, I thought.
And we also saw the return, as far as just sticking with the women's division here, in case Jim and Virginia or Greg from the Peg is listening, because they both really enjoy talking about the women's division. Greg from the Peg is listening because he's telling me that Triple H is at Full Sail University, and I guess that's who he thinks the authority figure is going to be. Well, thank you, Greg. Give us a call. 1-866-729-2562. But my point being here, Bianca Belair also showed up to stand beside Ruby Riott on Monday. Now, this was obviously because Liv Morgan wasn't available to play out this program, pulling aside the fact that that actually doesn't make sense, pairing those two up again. But it's really strange that they throw Bianca Belair into this program, because she's tailor-made to have a program of Bianca Belair with the Street Profits versus Andrade, Angel, and Zelina. And I actually want to see that. Mouth, I just want to see Bianca ragdoll Zelina.
No, that would make a lot of sense for her to be with the Street Profits, and then you've got an instant feud built right in there. But I think they've got some other weird stuff going on with Andrade and Angel Garza there. So I think they've got something worked out for those guys in a completely different direction.
Yeah, unfortunately. Hey, it is a live show tonight, so phones are open. 1-866-729-2562. Jeremy is answering them in our studio tonight and putting them on through, and let's do our first one. No surprise as to who caller number one is going to be. He always takes advantage of the live shows to call, and we appreciate it. Hansy, go for it.
What's going on? Listen, I didn't enjoy the pay-per-view. I didn't enjoy the main event part of it.
Whoa, hold on. You enjoyed
the
main event?
No, I said I didn't enjoy the main event.
Okay.
I enjoyed the Asuka and Sasha. I enjoyed the New Day Cesaro. I enjoy, you know what I mean? And Bailey and Nikki. I'll give Dolph credit that I didn't care about this match going in, but at least it serviced properly. So overall I didn't think the pay-per-view was that good, but I give it a pass still. But with TNA, I just want to get your thoughts on TNA, but I thought the surprises were kind of lackluster, maybe a little bit. I knew that that Gallows and Anderson obviously signed, but I felt like with no audience there, like I felt like it just didn't really click with me too well. And I thought Eric Young was random. I did like EC3, but I just thought everything else was kind. I did like Motor City Machine Guns, but I just felt like everything was kind of botchy a little bit, like the Women's Battle Royal and all that stuff like that.
Well, it wasn't a Battle Royal to begin with. It was a gauntlet match, sort of, but not really, with their weird rules. Hansy, you're getting ahead of us, though. We are going to talk about Impact. We'll do that in the next segment. But before we move along to that, thank you very much for the phone call. Let's go to that Drew match, though, Mouth, because one thing we didn't talk about is clearly, you know, this was a holdover program. It's SummerSlam coming up. You want Drew McIntyre put in a prominent program for SummerSlam, so the Universal title is somewhere near the top of the card. What do you do? Who's the next challenger that can actually be notable for poor Drew McIntyre, who finally has got a title with at the worst possible time to have this title?
Well, that's it, right, Jay? I mean, the roster is so up in the air. I mean, he doesn't even have the full roster to work with at SummerSlam. Honestly, at the moment, if you look at the Raw roster, I'm not sure who you would put with him. I mean, you're not going to do Lashley.
That was one of my thoughts. It could be a Lashley.
Really?
Could be.
We just did that, though. It would seem weird to go back to that one. But it's a tough one. I mean, I can't think of too many people on that. I mean, Rollins? Do you go back to Rollins?
I think you go Randy Orton.
Okay, I guess after this, what, after he takes out the Big Show and then we put the program with Drew in place, yeah?
Well, I mean, you know, that's the Big Show is here pretty much as the Drew McIntyre of that program where you know he's not going to win. You know he's not there for that. He's just there as a holdover program for Orton, as Ziggler was a holdover program for McIntyre. And now I think that you can maybe unleash these two on one another. And they're at least about, you know, they're the same size. I guess they'd look good standing across from one another. I can't say I'm all that interested in the program, but that left with.
It seems Orton seems a weird pick to me because they've spent so much time trying to make the Legend Killer thing happen again, right? I mean, they keep pushing the Edge and the Christian, and then, you know, he's going to take out Big Show. And it's like, it doesn't, like, moving to Drew McIntyre, that doesn't really seem to make sense to me.
But who else is there?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. There's not a lot of people to go to.
Like,
you know, it's a tough one. It really is. Under these circumstances with a reduced roster, it's very, very hard.
Lesnar returning? I'm not interested in that either.
Yeah, and I don't know if he would do it anyways.
I think he's just going to hang out in Saskatoon until COVID is at least settled down.
He's not crossing the border, exactly. No. He's had enough health issues in his life that he's a guy that should watch these kind of things, right? So he's not coming in. No, it's a rough spot now because there really isn't anyone that would be any more believable than a Dolph Ziggler, really.
All right, let's take another break here. If you want to get your calls in, we're taking them 1-866-729-2562. When we come back, we will get into Impact and Slammiversary. They presented their card last night, promised a whole bunch of surprises. We got them, but were they really surprises? Hanzi didn't think so. Well, we'll talk about it next. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Bartender Dave here to let all of my bearded brethren know that we are bringing the High Street Beard Care products to North America. From the darkest reaches of South Africa comes the finest beard oils and grooming products known to man. The highstreetbeardoil.ca. To us, beards are not a trend. They are a way of life. We have 4 beard oil flavors, spicy, woody, citrus, and earthy. A revolutionary beard jelly that'll leave your beard silky smooth and ridiculously attractive. Beard fertilizers that'll help you grow the biggest and most beautiful beard you can imagine. Also beard paste, beard butter, and stash wax. All available at thehighstreetbeardoil.ca. Join us on the high street and spoil your mane.
Eddie Edwards, the Die Hard Flotion has Eddie Edwards as the new Impact Wrestling World Champion.
And these two now are going to take out this champion before he even has a chance to crack the champagne.
The Good Brothers are here, and they're going to make their impact on Slammiversary. Here we go, the Good Brothers, Magic Killer, Magic Killer.
You can do magic.
Well, the Good Brothers did the Magic Killer, but I can't necessarily say that Slammiversary pulled off any magic last night. You know, I think I'm a little bit less critical after watching Extreme Rules tonight of this pay-per-view. But, Mouth, I mean, you kind of pushed me along to watch this today because you just flat-out spent your afternoon watching this whole thing.
Well, you know, Jay, we only get to meet once a month, you know, so I want to be able to make sure we can get through all of it. I think, you know, the thing that really struck me at first watching the pay-per-view was really, like, there's a couple things before we even get into the matches. Like, it really looked like an indie promotion. They didn't have anybody at ringside, not other wrestlers or production people or fans in mass. They had nothing. So that, I think, really, really hurt it. And it looked just so dime store to me, like the way it was shot and the way it looked. And I thought a lot of the camera work was really poor and, you know, badly lit. It just screamed indie to me. So as soon as it started, I was already kind of like, oh, I don't know what's happening here.
Well, also, Mouth, I mean, you mentioned no one in the stands, and I think what Impact has done is not learn from what everyone else has in the midst of COVID, that an empty arena really doesn't work with pro wrestling, and we've seen both of the other companies learn this and throw people out into the crowd, even though it is rather staged. And it makes one heck of a difference as far as the environment goes. Just listening to that clip right there, it sounds so hollow and empty when you just remove all the ambient noise that wrestling is supposed supposed to have. And along with that, you know, you mentioned production, and I'll take you one up on that because, you know, I'm a stickler for production.
You are.
I'm sitting here watching this thinking, why the hell wasn't this thing pre-taped? There's no one in the crowd.
Yes.
There should be no spoilers that get out. Even if there are, who cares? You've already teased that the Good Brothers are going to be there. You're not surprising anyone. This looked like junk. They absolutely ruined Heath Slater or Heath Miller coming out because his microphone was awful. And there was a whole bunch of production botches, and there's no need for it. Do it. Tape it. If it's not right, do it again. Put a perfect product out there, at least perfect as far as production goes.
Right.
Not necessarily in-ring, but you know what I'm saying, right?
No, and that's why I say it had this really indie feeling to me. I thought, like you said, this is your opportunity. You're not going to have to deal with an audience. Tape it. And they didn't, and there was constant problems throughout the entire thing.
I would say that, you know, leading into this, this is the most I've heard about an Impact show for I don't know how long.
For a while, yeah.
They did have a lot of hype, and a lot of it surrounded all the WWE contracts that had come due. The no-competes had were gone. And we saw the return to the Motor City Machine Guns, which I think everybody thought that, you know, was going to be the Good Brothers opening up the pay-per-view, answering the Rascals Challenge. We also saw Heath Slater, as I mentioned. And we saw Eric Young return, the Good Brothers, and then a tease for
EC3.
Rich Swann, yeah, off the injury. I mean, I didn't like the Eric Young thing. I thought, I just don't believe him in that role. And I just saw the classic Impact here. Everything. Booking, bait and switch, and making WWE mid-carders your main event guys.
Well, and not only that, but why do you have to do all the surprises on one show? It's like they did so much stuff, even ending the show with that 2-minute clip of EC3. Like, it's just like, can you not wait and maybe span this out a little bit and put a couple of these on your TV? I always think it's overkill when you do a million debuts at one time. And this was always one of the classic problems with TNA and Impact, is that they would throw so much at the wall that the next show you'd watch, you wouldn't even remember what you saw the week before. And that's how I kind of felt watching this pay-per-view. It's just like, you're just trying to throw too much at once here.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way as well. All right, it is our interactive night, so let's get to the phones here. Andrew is on the line, calling from Toronto. Andrew.
Hey, Jay and Dan, how are you guys doing tonight?
Doing decent enough. We made it through two pay-per-views this week, and we're just happy to be live talking to you. So, Andrew, what did you pull out of the weekend or week that you want to talk about?
So, I like Shayna coming back, but I think that it's going to be a part of the Women's Evolution 2 pay-per-view.
I hope that happens.
Rumored. Yep. And I like the... I started watching Slammiversary last night when I got home from work, and I fell asleep.
Huh.
Like, three matches into it.
Lucky you. Lucky you.
And then tonight's pay-per-view, I thought it was good up until the last match. I didn't like the last match. And on my last note, I just wanted to know, what event will be the first event for the fans allowed back in the stadiums, arenas?
Oh,
yeah, we don't have that. Thank you for the call, Andrew, but that is definitely still up in the air.
That's anybody's guess at this point, right?
I mean, Mouth, you know Vince wants to be the first one to do that.
Yes, he will try. You're right. He will try. I don't know if he's going to be able to do it, but we're still quite a ways away from anything like that happening. Like, I don't even know if they could do the Rumble or even if they could do Mania next year. We just don't know at this point.
Well, I mean, we do have, well, they have changed Mania, by the way. You know, it's not going to LA. That has been pulled. There's been some delays with the production of the, with the building of the LA stadium. So I think their goal is to actually do Tampa Bay next year. If they can, even if it's at limited capacity, I would guess, because it probably still will be at that point. Then again, it's Florida. Maybe it won't be.
Exactly.
Because anything goes in Florida. But, you know, we have seen friends and family let in. And, there's those people that are in the AEW, like, second deck. I don't know who they are.
I think most of those are kind of just, like, hardcore fans that are in the area. And they just kind of send out the word to them, and they scatter them in the upper deck there.
Yeah, well, there's some fans that are in there, but I guess we're going to start seeing that first. But a part of the issue also is there seems to be a much higher rate of infection and of spread when things are inside. Let's remember, right. AEW has an outdoor stadium
right.
that they're using.
Yep.
I think part of it's covered, but it is outdoor. There is such a huge difference in the way this thing spreads indoor versus outdoor.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that is one advantage that they have had from the beginning is that they have that freedom. You don't have air being trapped inside the building. It's allowed to get out and less chance of people getting infected if there is someone there that is infected.
Jake is on the line from Chicago, so let's head to the Windy City, which would blow COVID right away. No infections there, right, Jake?
That's what Trump would say.
Yes. Jake.
Yeah, just don't remind me of that. So it's crazy. I think I'm in desperate need of cocaine after what I've witnessed tonight.
You're in desperate need of cocaine?
What? Yeah, it was just off the rails crazy tonight. It's like WWE has ripped a book out of TNA's playbook of maybe hiring Vince Russo in a secret role or something.
And you need cocaine? I'm still stuck on that. Maybe pot,
yeah,
like
no,
to calm
like,
yourself down or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that really doesn't calm you down.
I don't know if you know your drugs.
Yeah.
Ask Andrada.
Pot is the one for calming you down.
Okay, well, yes, I'm just trying like, to escape in all this. The swab match, like, it was... They said it was for the WWE Championship, and I don't like. Was so confused. Like, I don't know. Did Bray win the champion? Did
hey, that's
Bray
a good point.
You know what? That's an amazing.
That
point.
Is a
I
good point,
even,
Jake.
You know what? I hadn't even thought about that. I didn't even think about that. It was a title match.
Yeah. Well, Jake,
that's a great point. Maybe the champion drowned or something. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe the snake gets the belt. The snake's the new champion.
Okay, you guys are talking over one another. Jake, appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. That is a valid point, though. I guess that's the thing. You've had two titles on this show tonight that are now kind of up in the air, maybe even three, you know, because you've got the MVP one that's already happening. You threw
right.
Sasha Banks into the mix there as well,
yep.
where it's not really
yep.
her title. And then, well, there was no pinfall. So how was that swamp match supposed to finish? Like, Jake's really opened up a can of swamp worms here because...
But by the same token, though, Jay, did the announcers say that? Like, I don't remember the announcers bringing up the title when they were talking about the leading into this.
So it was just a swamp match for no title?
That's very strange, man. I don't remember them saying anything about it. I think if it would have rung in our heads. We would have, that's for the title. But I didn't think of it till just now.
Well, he is the champion, and you're on a pay-per-view, so I feel as though it should be defended.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's lost in the swamp now.
So,
this is like when Rhino left the ECW title in the bar somewhere, and that's it. It's lost now.
And also, we have word. Apparently, what Jake needs is some vitamin B to level out all the LSD he's clearly eating.
Let's try to get every drug reference we can. We've covered them all.
We have Dr. Andrade on top of things here. So he's giving out the drug advice. So
okay. This
is really taking a turn. Hey, another thing that was pulled out the pay-per-view tonight. Was the Sheamus versus Hardy match. Yeah, that one, that's the drug program, the alcohol program. That's going to be on SmackDown on Friday. And also, this past SmackDown, we saw Matt Riddle and we saw AJ Styles. I will say, Mouth, that I thought that everything here was programmed pretty well. And what you had was, you know, the young guy, supposedly, because he's the new guy, let's just say, because Riddle's not all that young, work, have a good match with Styles, and when it came down to it, the savvy veteran just
mm-hmm.
squeaked out the win, and now they're 1-1, so they're set for a rubber match after he gets through with the Corbin program. Let's say something positive. I think all this was done pretty well.
I think so, too. I mean, you kind of know with WWE booking, like, I wasn't surprised to see AJ win the match, but it was cool the way they did it, where the idea is that he outwits the youngster here. I would assume that's the rubber match, and I would assume Riddle would have to win the rubber match. I mean, that makes the most sense to me. We got to build this guy up here, and AJ could certainly take a loss like that. I don't think it would hurt him.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that Riddle now proceeds to the Corbin program, and that'll be, unfortunately, I guess, his match at
SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, yeah. We'll get Riddle versus Corbin. I don't know what that means for AJ and where you send the Intercontinental title to.
Yeah, that's a good question, but I don't know. You know, you never know the way they do things. They could do the rubber match, just do it on TV, and that would be the end of it, and they don't even wait till SummerSlam. Or I guess not. They're doing Corbin. But they've done these two matches so quickly. Like, I can't see them holding off on the rubber match a long time for another program to go down first. You know what I mean?
I do. I think that this was we saw the handshake there. And I really like this a lot because the handshake was done. And I don't know if AJ did the handshake out of respect or AJ did the handshake to distract Riddle because he saw Corbin coming from behind. And I like that. Knowing that about the heel's behavior. Mm-hmm. I think it played out really nicely. And now Riddle will be distracted with Corbin. That'll take him on through. So you could have this the Riddle AJ match happen way down the line. There's no focus on it because you're probably going to get a couple pay-per-views of Riddle and Corbin, unfortunately.
Okay, now watch this, though. Watch this. On SmackDown next week, they do Riddle versus AJ, and they have Corbin come in and screw up the whole thing.
No, they're not going to do that.
I could see them doing it, Jay. No, I could see them doing it.
They're going to be too busy with a barroom fight next week.
Yeah, of course.
All right, let's take a break when we come back to top off, kicking off at 11 p.m., which is just a couple minutes away. We'll have Dave Meltzer on with us to get his thoughts on all of the stuff that happened this weekend in the world of wrestling. We'll get into Ray's contract, and does Apollo have COVID? I'm thinking yes, but we'll see if Dave has heard any better. We'll do that next when we come back. It's Sunday Night's Main Event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. Right now, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're hearing this ad. Yep, it's a commercial. And it could be your commercial. We've got sponsorship packages available to suit any budget, so I could be talking about what you're selling. For more information, email me, jason@snmeradio.com. Get the message out about your product or service to thousands of listeners via TSN Radio and around the world with our podcast. It all starts with an email to jason@snmeradio.com.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Well, WWE seems to be ending things off a little bit earlier, which means we'll get this gentleman on the line a little bit earlier as we get into hour two of the program. We turn to San Jose and the editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Dave Meltzer. Welcome, Dave. It's been quite the weekend with two pay-per-views.
Yeah. Two interesting shows, an interesting week for sure. You know, a lot of stuff, Gallows and Anderson stuff was kind of interesting as well.
Well, we will get there for sure. Let's start with Extreme Rules tonight. This was, I don't know if interesting is the word to us. It kind of fell off a cliff midway through.
Well, you know, I thought that the wrestling overall was very good, but the finishes were not very good. And I think, the ending of the show fell off a cliff. I thought that last segment was just bad, really bad.
And do we know, Dave, have you heard anything? Did Braun Strowman drown in the river? We don't even know what the ending is here.
Yeah, it just sort of ended. Yeah, well, I'm sure he's still alive. And I'm sure he's wrestling at SummerSlam against the Fiend. that's what it looks like. And hopefully they do something. I don't know what, because they did a wrestling match, at the two pay-per-views back, and it wasn't any good. Then they did this, which wasn't any good. So I'm not sure that, like, the third meeting is going to be something that, I don't know. I think that kind of wear out your welcome with two bad matches.
Along with that, wearing out the welcome of the cinematic match, I think, is happening. But tonight, a lot less of the cinematic matches than we thought. Dave, you and I talked last week, and we thought we were getting three. Turns out we only got one. When was the decision made to put Mysterio and Rollins in the ring?
I don't know the answer to that one, because I was still expecting it to be a cinematic match. I mean, the whole thing was like cinematic match and CGI effects.
Yeah.
And I guess they just decided not to do that and just to do what they did.
So what's the, speaking of that match, Dave, what is the deal on Rey Mysterio's contract? Because, I mean, to watch this, if they wanted to write his character out of the show, this, it could certainly happen from here.
I don't know the answer. I hopefully will know in the next day or two. I know, like, I hadn't heard anything new. So when I watched it, my feeling was is that he hasn't signed, but the deal of saying that, well, he may be okay, is basically saying that we haven't given up on signing him either. So that's how I read this, but I don't know that to be factual.
Here's a question I forgot to ask you last week. And we talk all about Rey Mysterio working without a contract. Could he go somewhere else? Is he being held hostage because of his son, Dominic, working there? And him wanting Dominic, of course.
Well, it wouldn't be hostage wouldn't be the word. There's guys who wanted to leave that, they're held hostage by previous injuries and their contracts being lengthy.
Right, right.
But this is not a situation here.
But what I'm alluding to is the fact that, you know, if he leaves, he knows Dominic is going to be punished. So my curiosity is, do we have any spectrum of, or any guess as to how long Dominic's contract is?
I don't know if Dominic's under contract or not.
Really?
I could ask about that. I've never thought about that before. I always thought that the one thing that, you know, was going to keep him there was the fact that, you know, for him, yeah, it would be Dominic because, you know, everyone knows that WWE will be around in 10 years, and while AEW will probably be around in 10 years, it's like you're just not sure, you know, even now. Ray is probably thinking of the future of the son, and that's, I always thought that was one of the bargaining chips that WWE had over Ray, because it was just Ray alone at this time, at this stage of his career. I really think he would go because just, I think he'd be treated better in AEW, and I think he'd have more fun in AEW.
Yeah, I think he'd excel much, much higher there. Go ahead, Mouth.
No, I was just going to say, I wanted to get to, Jay mentioned the cinematic matches we were expecting. Hardy and Sheamus, the barroom brawl, that seemed to be set up for this, seemed natural for Extreme Rules. They're going to hold it on the TV. Have you heard any reason why that was, Dave? I mean, the show ended very early.
I mean, you know, no one's given me an answer, but I think that the gut is that both the unsanctioned match with Orton and Big Show and this match will probably move to TV just as a way to try to prop up television ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually, if you remember, like, when there's a pay-per-view week, they never advertise matches ahead of time because the matches that you do on TV come out of the pay-per-view. But this time they advertised Orton and Big Show for Monday and Jeff Hardy and Sheamus in the bar brawl on Friday, so my gut is that they're just trying to prop up ratings with using what would have been, under normal circumstances, pay-per-view matches.
Tonight we had another match pulled was Apollo Crews and MVP. This one played out to me a lot like a positive test for COVID for Apollo.
I can't confirm that, but I can't say you're wrong either because I really don't know, but. They said a bulging disc, and if it was a bulging disc, he'd be out for, like, months. And they sure didn't act like it was something where the guy would be out for months. So, you know, I think everyone's come to that guess, but I don't know that it's for sure yet.
Right.
And one other quick thing, too, Dave, before we move on here from tonight. With the Drew McIntyre, he defeats Dolph Ziggler tonight. Jay and I were kind of rattling our brains trying to figure out, who do you put with Drew next? Who do you work with him with SummerSlam? Because it's at the moment, it seems really, really thin in terms of opponents for him.
I know that the plan as of a couple weeks ago was Orton.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't, you know. So I would guess that after Orton and Show that it goes to Orton and Drew. So he's the favorite, put it that way.
Makes sense. All right, let's turn back the clock to yesterday. 24 hours ago, it was a Slammiversary. Definitely Impact getting the most attention they've got for a long time due to all the non-compete clauses from WWE talent coming up being available. But, Dave, it was an empty arena. I kind of found it tough to watch. A few bait and switches on the surprises, a couple unexpected ones. But what did you think of the show?
Yeah, you know, after watching the other stuff, the empty arena stuff is tough. Like, even with New Japan, it was kind of tough, and New Japan's a lot better wrestling. I thought, the guys worked hard. Most people seemed to like the show. I thought the main event was great. But aside from that, it just kind of felt like a show. And, yeah, a lot of new names. But they were pretty much mostly expected, other than the Motor City Machine Guns. I didn't know that those guys were coming in.
It seemed to be Impact going back to WWE mid-carders finding their way closer to the top of the card of Impact, though.
Yeah, I know. Didn't it feel like the old days of Impact, where WWE guys would get released and then they would show up when their non-compete's up, and then they would come in, they would get this giant reaction, and then it was kind of like, and then the homegrown guys would be like underneath them. And I felt like there's nobody that I would say was bad to be brought in, but I felt it was too many at once. Like, maybe bring a few guys in now, maybe a few guys in a couple of months, but there's contract things and, a lot of different, things that they have to work through. I mean, Gallows and Anderson kind of had to be on the show, and I think EC3, they're looking at as a big star. Eric Young did a great job in his match, and then, Heath Slater, I could have, like, debuted him in a month, but I think that they probably just wanted to debut everyone all at once as part of, like, this big buzz rebirth thing that they were looking to get from the show.
It's so typical of TNA, their Impact. That's their always been their strategy, is like they just do too much at once. They throw so much stuff at you that when it comes to next week's show, you don't even remember. I totally agree that those debuts should have been spread out over a few weeks so we don't get slammed with them all at once.
Yeah, I think that they were looking at, just producing this, like, big pay-per-view show and, just kind of giving people, hey, there's a bunch of happenings on pay-per-view this time, to make it, because a lot of their pay-per-view shows, they kind of come and go and nobody really talks about it. And this one, I definitely heard a lot more buzz on this show than any show that they've done in probably a couple of years.
Yeah.
It was all because of like Gallows and Anderson, really. And the other guys.
It definitely got more attention. And Gallows and Anderson, which is what I wanted to head to next here, were one of the main reasons for it. Doing a podcast and talking all about their release from WWE, AJ moving from brand to brand, and dishing some more details that we kind of already heard about what had gone on in Saudi Arabia. These guys definitely not fans of anyone, pretty much, of management in WWE. In particular, Paul Heyman, though, Dave, because Paul fired them. Did you know that?
That was a weird one, because it felt like we went back 20 years, and the whole thing of, oh my God, Jim Ross hated me, but that Vince McMahon, he loved me, and that's why I lost my job. And it was like, everyone knows the score. There's nobody got fired there that wasn't fired by Vince McMahon. That was the one where it was like, I can see like AJ Styles kind of, because he's still working there, kind of going with it. But I thought, like, with Gallows and Anderson, I mean, they've been around the business for years and years. If you listen to them, you can tell, like, they kind of know what's going on. And I mean, they have a right to, to be mad at Paul, in the sense of, I'm sure Paul did promise them a big push. And the reality is that Paul was going to push younger guys, but, Paul didn't fire them. Vince McMahon fired them.
Yeah, and other than that, I think we had heard a lot of this stuff in about Saudi Arabia already.
It was interesting. The one thing with the Saudi Arabia thing that was interesting was them saying that they heard directly from someone who was on the headsets when Vince cut off the feed. Because it's like, that thing, it's like everyone has said that before, but that's the closest to, it's not just some, like, fourth-hand rumor. It was like someone directly told them. So I thought that was an interesting aspect of it. But, the rest of it was just, the military police story, which we've heard from many different people, but WWE has always denied, and feeling that there was a mechanic here, but that somebody came in and took the part out of the plane to cause a mechanical failure on purpose.
Yeah, a lot of that we had heard. All right, Dave, that is fantastic for this week. Observer-wise, I'm guessing just coverage of all the backstage details on Slammiversary and Extreme Rules, and looking forward to SummerSlam and whatever breaks, right?
Yeah, well, we know some stuff's going to break this week, because it seems to break every week.
That seems to be the way that it goes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Dave.
And the midweek is always insane.
That is. That's because they know you're about to publish, and you know they've got to got to get their spots in. Got to get their spots in. Dave, thanks so much for joining us live. Appreciate it.
Okay. Have a great week.
You too. Dave Meltzer, WrestlingObserver.com is where you can find, of course, the podcast and the Observer newsletter and all of what they do there. Hey, Mouth, we'll take a break. When we come back, we haven't even touched on AEW yet. So you and I will run down what's going on there because it's your specialty now.
Oh, yeah. I got lots to say about this week's show.
Yeah, it had some bumps in the road, I think, but some good stuff as well. We'll do
yes.
it next.
Oh, yeah.
When we come back, it is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today. WrestlingObserver.com.
You gotta watch Taz. He's got that belt in his hand. He might hit. Look, Mox gives him the finger. That's what he thinks of you, Taz. You're number one.
Taz has made a huge investment in Brian Cage. It could go all up in smoke right here.
Mox is feeling it. Tongue is out. Look at this. What?
Taz throwing the towel.
I threw it on the ground. You must think I'm a joke. I ain't gonna be.
Well, Taz. Threw in the towel on behalf of Brian Cage to end the main event this week on AEW. A Dynamite, but it was also Fight for the Fallen this week. And Mouth, to no one's surprise, despite maybe a little momentum from NXT, AEW with a complete destruction in ratings this week. And what another card that they threw out there that was pretty strong.
Yes, absolutely. They've been on a good run. They seem to have been able to adapt to the circumstances that they've been placed in by the COVID-19. And I think they did a great job. I think with both the Fyter Fest and with this show, in making them seem like slightly different shows than the regular television. They made them seem like special events, which I think really helped.
I also just think that AEW has a distinct advantage in this NXT competition because you have guys coming from all different promotions and all of the matches feel relatively fresh and that
right.
won't last forever. So I think they do have an advantage. They have an advantage in that manner and a disadvantage because they're not attached to the big brand, which is WWE.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I also feel that part of it is they are offering, like, and you can see it. They are offering something quite different than WWE. And I really just think that for a lot of fans, it's some relief that, you know, the WWE that's had the grip on how we view professional wrestling for so long. Here's finally another group that's come along and is trying to break away and kind of try to create something new. I think that's a big part of it as well.
All right. So you and Joe Aguinaldo, you cover this each and every week on our Patreon. It is the All Elite Weekly podcast. So you follow it in depth, break it on down every week. You can get that podcast at patreon.com/SNME Radio. It's there for you every week if you're listening live now, wherever you are. Tell me though, Mouth, being the expert, why was Taz on commentary this week? Even though he is a heel manager now, it didn't fit to me.
This was Jay. I'm not going to argue with you on this one. You're absolutely right. The minute I heard Taz up there and he's doing this straightforward analytical commentary, and I'm like, no, you're a heel manager now. You know, he has to be doing like what Jericho does. He's a heel up there. He does his commentary. He still comes across a heel as he does it. But as far as I'm concerned, under the circumstances, Tony Schiavone can't be there. Fine. Leave the two of them out there. It would have been fine. Jericho came in about halfway through the show, so it wouldn't have been a big deal. And yeah, it really hurt Taz's manager character for him to go up there and then act in like almost like a baby face.
Yeah, I didn't care for that at all. And I agree, even if there is, because Tony does a lot. He speaks a lot, and I think he's the more I don't know, coherent one over Jim Ross at this point in his career.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, definitely.
But even if that's the case, Excalibur is actually underutilized. So if he had to step up, I have no doubt that there would have been no problems with Excalibur having to step up a bit.
Well, exactly. And if you notice in some of the past ones, when Jericho's there and they have the four of them and Excalibur is kind of quiet while the four of them are there, as soon as Jericho leaves, Excalibur instantly picks up the slack. Like, he's very good at that.
Oh, yeah. He completely understands his role. Okay. So, I mean, what did you think of that finish of Taz throwing in the towel? Did you like that? I personally think it could have been...
No, absolutely not. I did not like it. I thought it was ridiculous to throw the towel in for a guy like Brian Cage. The guy's huge. He's a monster. I thought it was the worst finish. And you know what? I know that AEW really likes to pride themselves on they don't do disqualification finishes in matches.
Right.
But if you do it once in a while, it's not a big deal. It's actually a surprise. And to me, this is where I would have done one. I would have done something where Darby Allin comes out, tries to go after Cage because now he's healed and Cage was the one that takes him out. And somehow he gets him disqualified and that leads to their feud. And I just think you could have done it in a better way than throwing in the towel. I kind of understand why they did it, but they did it with the worst guy to do that with. He's a big, huge monster guy. You don't want his first big match, and they had to throw in the towel. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, Cage and Taz could have been conspiring and cheating to win, and Darby came out to even the score, and that's
exactly
how you would have got around. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. There's ways to get around this for sure.
I know you're a big fan here of when we used to have live wrestling. Greektown Wrestling is something that you went to all the time, and one of their regulars was Sonny Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
So Sonny Kiss this week making his, I believe it could have very well been his debut on Dynamite.
It was, Jay. He got in his very first Dynamite match. He got a title match.
He, to me, looked... I loved his entrance. I thought that was an
with
absolute,
the cheerleaders, yeah.
I thought
yeah.
it was a really great entrance. He looked great there. But once he got into the ring, he looked nervous to start things off to me.
No, I agree. I think this was it's a lot to put that on somebody in your very first match. You're wrestling with one of the top guys on the roster,
yeah.
And you're also in a title match. And it's your first big appearance on TV where people are going to see you,
yeah.
A lot of people, for the very first time. I would have liked to. I thought they were going to go in that direction with him and Joey Janela, and they were going to kind of do some stuff with them to kind of establish Sonny and let him get comfortable and all that kind of stuff. So I would have actually even done some, you know, other program or something before he gets put into a title match like this. I just thought it was too much, and that's probably what made him nervous, because I felt that way too, Jay, when I watched it. You could tell he was slightly off on a couple things, and he kind of rushed a couple things. You know, you could tell he was kind of feeling like almost like Britt Baker at first, where she seemed incredibly nervous when she first started with the promotion.
Well, if he has the learning curve of Britt Baker, then I'm very happy and very looking forward to this, because she had a great run before she got hurt, and they're just trying to keep her on TV right now. And I do see good things for Britt Baker once she found herself in this character.
Definitely.
Someone who's never had a problem with this character is, of course, the Demo God. Brilliant.
Yes. Yep. Yep. And that was a great way to take something from reality and use it as part of the story. Wait till you hear him this week, Jay, after the way the ratings were last week. And, you know, they really did hurt NXT badly this week. So he's going to be off the charts this week with the Demo God thing. He'll be all over it.
So two things, though, that I took out of this. Number one, I'm surprised this program is continuing. And number two, I thought the orange juice stunt was quite WWE-like.
Come on, though. How can you say that? I mean, everybody's done that. WCW's done that. ECW's done that. Everybody's done that stunt where they've dropped something from the ceiling like that. I didn't have a big problem with it. I thought it was kind of funny. I really liked it when he gave him the towel and it had Orange Cassidy's face on it.
Just great.
And I thought Ortiz was hilarious taking the pratfalls in the orange juice and that. But I'm with you about the program continuing. Super surprised. I really kind of thought it would be like a one-and-done thing. It helped build up Orange Cassidy. But I guess they obviously have something worked out. And I have to admit, I've enjoyed it so far. I really have. I thought Jericho's done a great job at helping him get over. So I'm really looking looking forward to it. But think about this, Jay. Think about if all this Jericho Orange Cassidy stuff had been in front of a crowd.
Oh, my goodness.
Think of if they had been able to just continue hitting a lot of cities for the first time, the hardcore fan base there. Can you imagine the last two or three weeks with an audience would have been absolutely amazing?
You're for sure right. There's no doubt. And, you know, I really say that so much about AEW, when I look at things that they've missed out on as far as, you know, the FTR debut,
yes,
the Matt Hardy debut, the Luke Harper,
yes,
debut, the Orange Cassidy Jericho program. There is so much that's gone on here that a crowd would have gone crazy for. And
yep,
I think part of that is also because of AEW appealed so much to the crowd. I actually think it hurts them more not to have the crowd because it was so white hot all the time that they were out because they're so new and so novel still.
No, it's absolutely true. It really is a tough time for them, but I do think that they're doing a good job at keeping the product interesting. And like I said earlier, doing the best they can within the circumstances they've been dealt.
Vicky Guerrero is the manager of Nyla Rose. I don't know if I like it because I don't know if Nyla needs a manager. I think she's okay on the mic.
She is. I didn't really mind it. Again, this is another one where I just went, what if a crowd was here and Vicky Guerrero,
oh, yeah,
came out and she
her
started
music,
yelling, excuse me?
Her music mouth. The,
yes,
music is
right,
incredible.
Right. Yeah. It would have been great. It would have been off the charts. I don't really have a problem with it. Again, I'm really loving the way that we're, you know me, I've wanted managers forever. I'm really just loving the way in AEW that they have so many managers and people have stables. Now, I hope they don't go too far with it, but I'm kind of curious to see how this works with Nyla Rose. And I agree with you, Nyla can talk.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious to see what the dynamic will be and how it works out.
Speaking of dynamics, what is the dynamic of Kenny Omega now in AEW? I'm trying to figure this out because this week we had the Bucks and Omega versus Jurassic Express, and Omega just decided to, number one, he sold for Marco Stunt during the match, which I don't think should ever happen. And then,
yeah, that was a bit of a stretch, the stuff with Marco, for sure.
I don't care for Marco Stunt. If anything, he should be a punk heel, not on a babyface squad.
Well,
but
I wouldn't mind it if he was more of a mascot with Jurassic Express. Like if he just, you know, came out with him and wasn't actually involved with the matches, I wouldn't have any trouble with it. But putting him in matches, you know, with top talent, it's a bit of a stretch.
So what's the dynamic now? I mean, I'm looking at a heel turn for Kenny Omega here.
Well, it certainly looks that way with the way things have been going, right? And the fact that, you know, he kind of did that stuff with FTR and he took the beer and spilled it out. But then on this one, you know, they come out and they pour the beer on his head and stuff like that. So it's I think Omega is going to be the heel because the audience is going to side with Paige. And they've,
yeah,
linked FTR to Paige now.
That's right.
With them, you know, hanging out with them in the bar and stuff like that. So I think that's the way it's going to be. His character is kind of playing that very confused, like you said, he's not really sure, but it does really look like he's going to end up being the heel and FTR and Paige are going to be the babyface.
It took me a bit to think about this because, you know, I always thought that they were missing the boat on Omega. And, you know, I really think that Omega should be one of the guys carrying the promotion. And I think that they missed the rubber match between Jericho and Omega. However, now looking at this, due to the pairing with Paige and getting Paige started, and you know, Omega was a big credit with this tag team to helping him out.
Yep.
And initially, I do think that the plan was to have Paige be the heel and the one that was turning his back on the rest of the Elite. But it seems like now they're just making Kenny a bit of a dink. And I think what we may be seeing now is him getting frustrated that he's been cast aside in AEW since the onset. And
mm-hmm.
I think they're going to lose the titles. And he is going to be the one turning on Paige because Paige, for sure, especially once we get a crowd back, is,
yep,
the baby face here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I think they really put some thought into this and really thought it out instead of just kind of going the regular route and making I love how they're making this long, intriguing storyline that's taking a long time to play out rather than being it's over in 2 weeks or whatever. And I think they've done a great job at stringing people along. So we are wondering who's the baby face, who's going to be the heel and stuff like that. And I think Omega as a heel will be fantastic.
Well, I hope so, and I hope they push him up the card at that point, because he is definitely someone who hasn't had the spotlight put on him. By the way, we are live tonight. If you want to get your calls in, if you're sitting out there listening, agreeing or disagreeing even more so with anything that we're saying, it's 1-866-729-2562, live on our flagship TSN 1150 tonight, following the horror show at Extreme Rules. And I say the horror show at Extreme Rules right before I talk about the Nightmare Sisters. The Nightmare Sisters, which I think is just an ongoing joke on our Facebook board now, of my theory of wrestling is Brandy ruins everything and Allie ain't that far behind. They're just trolling me putting these two together, Mouth.
This is really perplexing, Jay. I don't understand this at all. It's amazing how many fresh starts they've tried with Brandy. It's like maybe she should just work behind the scenes. I'm not saying that she's not talented, but man, until you find something that's going to work with her and it actually is interesting, just put her in the back. We don't need to see her every week. And the other thing that bothered me about this is a thing that AEW does quite often that I really hate, is that we see these two come out as a tag team on Dynamite. It's the first time we've seen them. The last time we saw these two is they were at ringside and they were arguing with each other about QT Marshall. Now all of a sudden they're a tag team. And apparently they did something on Dark. So if you're going to do something on Dark, take that 30 seconds and make a little clip or something to show us on Dynamite, something. I just thought they do this a lot. Stuff happens on Dark and they don't give you the details on Dynamite and just expect you to know what's going on. And I really hate that. And this was another example of that this week.
To me, all it did was give me some of my year-end awards completely laid out. Worst tag team of the year, worst on the mic, worst character, worst gimmick.
I was thinking about worst of, though, this year, Jay.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, can we really properly do best and worst this year under these circumstances? Like, it's completely different.
Yeah, maybe we just do two worst of shows.
Oh, jeez. Because the circumstances have killed everything. There you go.
Paul from New Jersey is on the line. Let's get this call in before we got to go to break here. Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm interesting, guys.
I'm interesting.
Well, that's good. We don't want boring people calling us up.
All right. Tell us more.
I was going to say good, but after what I saw, I guess I called an audible and went with a different word, because watching this show tonight, man, I was thinking, man, when I was 5 years old, what happens if I just got into boats or trains or lacrosse or something, because this show sucks. I mean, and out of all the things that bugged me, the one thing that bugged me the most, and I want to get your guys' opinion on, Bayley, who's been a champion for over a year, can't beat mid-card Nikki Cross. Like, we can't just have a clean finish. We can't do it, because we have to keep Nikki Cross strong for this loser gimmick she's going to do. And I just want to get your guys' opinion on that, because these finishes look terrible tonight.
Well, Mouth didn't like that finish. I didn't mind it. I thought it was structured pretty well. And I'm not going to have a problem with an intelligent cheat by the heels. Nikki's kind of a dumb character, so I didn't. All in all, I didn't mind it. And come on, if you think about it, Paul, now we've got Boss Knuckles as a gimmick.
Oh,
that's
Boss
it
Knuckles.
For Jay. He's saved by that.
Yeah, another one of their great sayings they could do. And I also thought,
no, they haven't said it. They haven't said it yet. I'm waiting for it, but they haven't said it yet.
Well, no, because they haven't listened to you yet. They're going to steal it.
Okay, cool. But, nice.
I mean, they're probably doing other stuff right now. But, yeah, I thought the eye for eye thing was hilarious, which I guess wasn't the given wasn't the desire. It's got a big bang of Vince Russo tonight. I don't know who this is for. I don't know if it's for the casuals or the hardcores, but I'd like to see if there's people who really like it.
Yeah, I don't know if they're out there. Thank you very much for the call, Paul. Appreciate it.
That is a great question. Like,
who likes it?
Who is the audience that they're aiming some of this stuff at?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're just trying to fill time and get through this and just waiting for COVID to calm down. And Florida's not doing anyone any favors, let me tell you.
No, that is true.
Let's take a break. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. And we've got I haven't even mentioned this tonight. Well, of course, we have Turnbuckle Trivia. It is a Who Am I Turnbuckle Trivia tonight. And it's the Battle of the East Coast. So we'll do that when we come back, and then we'll come back with some of your feedback. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
We said jungle. I'm Dan the Mouth Branson.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty parts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks, tough guy.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Horror Show Sunday, and we've got an East Coast battle on our hands. So we'll be sending out a t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com to the winner of this game tonight, and we're playing a special game. We've only played it once on the show before, but I saved it for these two guys. First of all, we have Greg from Nova Scotia, but currently in Newfoundland. How are you, Greg?
I'm well, sir.
Excellent. You are playing against someone you've played against before, I believe, from Nova Scotia. It's Brad the Dad. Welcome back, Brad.
Hey, and I'm in Greg's stomping ground down in Eastern Passage, Nova Scotia.
You know what, Brad? No one knows what that means. But anyhow, we're getting local into like townships now. All right, as we dive into the East Coast. Now, you guys have played before. I believe, right? Who won last time?
Greg.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
Well, here we go then, gentlemen. So we're playing Who Am I today? Here's how it works to those of you out there listening, because play from home and shout out them answers. I will give you clues as to about a wrestler, a person. They will be from the WWE roster. You can shout out your answer at any time during a clue. However, if you yell out an answer before I finish a clue and you're incorrect, I will then finish the clue uninterrupted, and your opponent will have the chance to answer. I have about five clues for each, but I'm sure you're going to get them before, and you're just shouting them out, and I hope I can tell the difference between your voices. Let's see how it goes. Gentlemen, Greg, are you ready?
I am.
Brad, are you ready?
I am.
All right. Your voices sound eerily similar, which might be bad for this game. Here we go. Mystery number one. When the storm passed, I lost Glenn.
Undertaker?
That is incorrect, and that's from Greg. Brad, do you want to guess? It's a freebie.
Paul Bear.
No, both incorrect. Jake the Snake may bring a Damien to the ring, but I married one. Okay. I competed in TNA's British Boot Camp number 2, but was unsuccessful. All right. Making it to WWE NXT finally brought me some sanity.
Oh, Nikki Cross.
Nikki Cross from Greg, I heard there first. Brad, what did you yell?
Killian Dane.
No. You see, Killian Dane's real name is Damian.
Oh.
And that's who she married. I'll explain it, but Greg, you've got the first point. Very good in the Who Am I game. It was Nikki Cross. The clues were, when the storm passed, I lost Glenn. Nikki used to go by Nikki Storm, and when she debuted on NXT, it was Glenn Cross, and then she lost Glenn. Jake the Snake may bring Damian to the ring, but I married one. Well, she married Damian Mackle, better known as Killian Dane. She competed in British Boot Camp, and the other reference was to Sanity. Congratulations, Greg. You've got our first point. Here we go, second one. I've competed in a David versus Goliath contest. Salty Johnson made me glow. I spent the early part of my WWE career in a sweet tag team. Daniel Bryan may use Rise of the Valkyrie as his theme, but it's a Valkyrie that gives me a rise. I may look like Jim, but my name is John. Mundo.
Oh, Johnny Mundo.
John.
Oh.
No.
John Morrison.
I believe Brad got there first. Brad's got that point. Very good. All right. Yes, indeed. And here were the clues. I've competed in a David versus Goliath contest. He's competed in Survivor 2018, David versus Goliath. Salty Johnson made me glow in the pilot of Glow. His name was Salty Johnson. Spending the early part of his WWE career in a sweet tag team, he was in M&M. That's pretty sweet, like the candy. My favorite clue that I've written today, Dan O'Brien may use Rise of the Valkyrie as his theme, but it's a Valkyrie that gives me a rise. He's married to Taya Valkyrie. I may look like Jim, as in Morrison, but my name is John Morrison. And finally, I was going to say Mundo Nitro Impact, and I said Mundo, and Brad got the very close win there. Saying Johnny Mundo, and then both of you getting over to John Morrison. All right, here is your third one. It's 2 out of 3. You've both tied at 1. And here is your final Who Am I game. I was originally known to roll as a Mercedes.
Oh, Sasha Banks.
Oh my goodness, Sasha Banks is correct. Congratulations, Greg. You have got it. Her first name is Mercedes, and that's all you needed. I wrote so many clues.
Yeah, it's my son's favorite female wrestler.
Well, congratulations. That did it for you. Your son helped you win that one. Maybe get him a t-shirt. Congratulations, Greg. Brad, the dad, sorry, pal. You didn't get this one, but I'll throw you two against one another once again as the ongoing rivalry continues. Thanks for playing, guys.
Thanks.
And remember, if you want to play a Turnbuckle Trivia, all you got to do is sign up patreon.com/SNME Radio. And I will tell you, we are set up and scheduled into the end of August. And then it all wraps around again. Everybody gets another shot to win those t-shirts. New combinations, new games, new trivia. It's all to come as we get into the fall. Ooh, am I talking about the fall in the middle of the summer? I did that. So we're taking a break and we're coming on back. There is still more as we continue on Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio.
If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents.
Super Kick!
To classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Fred Eyes exposed, trying to drive the previously injured eye back into the steel!
It's out.
Jeepers creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Jeepers creepers, where'd you get those eyes?
I always just like to hear a giggle from you, Mouth, whenever I choose this music.
Excellent piece of music there, Jay. Very good.
Welcome back. Sunday night's main event, our live show. A little bit of the Rey Mysterio finish there. You know, at least we got a finish in that one, Mouth. And I'm just looking at the six-pack challenge here because Joe is online trying to convince me that he won.
Okay.
And just think about this. I'm still struggling with who did and who did not win because they've also bet on the Jeff Hardy match, which isn't coming up till the fall. I've posted all their picks up on the Facebook page. But we did not really get a finish in the Sasha match. We didn't get a finish in that Braun match.
Nope.
We didn't even get the MVP match. What is this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's drastic remodeling very quick to the show, that is for sure, you know. It's ridiculous. And from what I've been able to tell, just looking around online, Jay, I don't think it was supposed to be the title match with Bray and Braun. I think it was just supposed to be a swamp match.
Oh, okay then. I guess they'll save. Well, you know, do you think, though, at SummerSlam, because I'm under the belief that the Fiend match happens and the Fiend takes that title at SummerSlam.
But the character like the Fiend with the belt, I don't know.
He had a whole belt made for himself.
Yeah, well, that's a tough one when you have a character like that as champion. It's hard to make it work.
Well, I'm going to tell you that it's hard to make Strowman as champion work as well because it's garbage.
Yeah, well, that's it, right? You know, It's hard.
I don't feel bad for Strowman getting this belt in this time because I don't think he's a great champion. I do feel bad for Drew McIntyre after all that he's gone through now getting the belt because I think he had potential to actually get the crowd behind him with that counting the 1, 2, 3. If they didn't write for him like he was a complete dork, then he did have a shot of being a good champ.
Yeah, no, I agree. Again, this is another one in regular times that would have been probably worked a lot better than it is right now. Plus, you'd have more guys that you could work with them now. This whole limited roster because of the pandemic, you know, hurts these things big time. It's very hard to watch Raw sometimes because you feel like you're just watching the leftovers.
What did you think of Eddie Edwards coming out on top for the Slammiversary title?
You know what? I don't have a lot of problem with that because Slammiversary, it's kind of celebrates their history, and Eddie Edwards is a guy that's been there for a long time. I really think of all the guys that were in the match, he really was the best choice. The other thing I wanted to mention about that show, too, is the women's title match there with Jordynne Grace and Deonna Purrazzo. I thought that match was really good. I thought the girls worked really hard. I honestly thought that was the best match on the show.
Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt about that. I think that was strong. And I didn't much care for the whatever the gauntlet thing was, but I think the right person came out on top with Kylie Rae, I think was the right person to win that match.
Yeah, I agree. But the match itself, was
Johnny Bravo.
Was not good. The first part of the show, especially the Tommy Dreamer Moose hardcore match was not good at all.
All right, Mouth, that does it for us this week. You're going to be back with All Elite Weekly with Joe Aguinaldo, and I will tell you, your partner will be doing double duty. We're getting him to watch Raw this week, and he and Mark Andrada will be doing the midweek markout because I will be cottaging.
Right, absolutely. And then aren't we all getting together on the flagship next week?
You betcha. Next Sunday night or Sunday afternoon for patrons, you'll be getting our roundtable show. So all of us will be together next week, and we'll find out why bartender Dave decided to shave off his beautiful beard.
And get on Facebook. That was startling.
So much has happened in the life of Dave. We'll talk about it all next week. I thank you for getting through this with me tonight, Mouth. Much appreciated.
Hey, no problem, Jay. Anytime. I love it.
All righty. We're saying goodbye for this week. We'll talk to you next week, Sunday night. Get on the Patreon. You get it on Sunday afternoon. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. We'll talk to you next week for the roundtable right here on Sunday night's main event. Don't you dare miss it.
Brother.
Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday night's main event. There's actually lots more of this, and you can get it commercial free, and you can get an extended version. But you just got to drop in and be a supporter on our Patreon. It's only $4 a month, and you get this show, plus you also get 4 other podcasts per week. So find us and go support at patreon.com/SNME Radio. Yep, patreon.com/SNME Radio, because without you, this show doesn't exist. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. We appreciate your support.